Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District, our friend, somebody who I love to talk to because just makes so much sense. Doesn't sound political. Sounds like a human being. I love that. Elizabeth, so when we were talking the last time about Sandy Hook, and we both sort of choked up a bit, and now we're talking about the second piece of that. The first was guns towards the end of our conversation. The second is mental health. You know, I did a PhD in the politics of mental health, and I got an NIMH fellowship, and I studied stigma and the rest of it. Is there really anything that we can do right now to bring us into this 21st century that will make a difference?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, Alan. Just earlier today, I was with folks talking about overdose prevention and awareness. And we're seeing this right now around the opioid addiction efforts. I mean, if you want to talk about mental health stigma, there's nothing like trying to talk about opioid addiction, which is such a crisis in our region right now, in Connecticut, upstate New York, all of New England. And the stigma around addiction is huge. It's bigger than probably for any other area of mental health issues. Like you, I've had a longstanding interest in and background on mental health issues. I volunteered at an adolescent facility in Connecticut when I was in law school in the early 80s. And I think we have made some progress. A lot more needs to be made. We've got important bills in the Senate and the House. And I do think, I see signs actually in working with my Republican colleagues as well as Democratic colleagues, that there's much more awareness. And for some people, that awareness has come through a family member. For some people, that's come through working with veterans. And I will tell you, we have 22 military suicides on average a day. These are folks we send into harm's way. We ask to defend this country and defend freedom around the world, and we need to provide them support when they come home, and their invisible wounds are as damaging, if not more damaging, than their visible wounds. And we need to do a lot better, and we can't do that if we treat mental health issues any different than physical health. We don't blame people for getting a broken leg, right? We don't blame people for having an allergy to peanuts. Why should we blame people for the fact that their body chemistry may mean they're more easily addicted, or that they suffer as any normal human being would be likely to suffer PTSD if they're sent into war? And we have a lot of room for growth here as a country, and certainly in public policy, to help treat mental health the way we treat the rest of health for people.
Well, you know, JFK, back in his administration, talked about community mental health centers. It was a great idea. It didn't really happen. The hospitals grabbed them up. These were supposed to be freestanding, independent facilities. One wonders if this country, which spends so much on defense, couldn't afford to rethink that idea.
Well, we're seeing, I'll tell you, we've got a pretty robust system of community health centers in Connecticut, and we're seeing in both schools and the community health centers, we are seeing mental health clinics being implemented and expanded. You know, you need to go where people are, and that means we need to provide support for our children. Certainly a lot of, increasingly clear that a lot of mental illness tends to manifest, some of it very early and a lot of it in teenage years. So I think universities, I know from three kids, one of the last of whom is a senior in college now, but I have to tell you, compared to when I was in college and you were in college, that there's a lot more awareness now in colleges, a lot more outreach that's being done. And I think that needs to be pushed down to lower grade levels, too.
That's true. Elizabeth Esty, I guess I want to talk to you about your community forums on restoring democracy. What's that all about?
Well, I'm actually going to be meeting this week to address an issue I feel passionately about and I think is unbelievably important this year. And that is the need to have campaign finance reform as part of overall efforts to ensure that Americans' voices are being heard in the political process. We have seen and heard in this political year incredible vitriol. And part of that, I think, is a reflection of people feeling they're not being heard, people not trusting, not believing that the political process is responsive to the voices of the people. So we have a lot of work to do around that. I mean, one is on overturning or replacing a broken campaign finance system that, and getting rid of the really bad Citizens United decision. I'm a sponsor of legislation that, both legislation that would, on the congressional level, seek to bypass that, as well as a constitutional amendment to try to replace that. But we also have, and we have seen in the Supreme Court decision in Shelby County versus Holder in 2013, key provisions of the Voting Rights Act were struck down. So this year is actually the first time, it's the first presidential year in 50 years, first presidential election, in which we're not going to have those full Voting Rights Act protections. So again, I'm a sponsor of legislation to, and it's bipartisan legislation, the Voting Rights Amendment Act, which would help restore a lot of those elements that have proven to be very, very successful. The Voter Empowerment Act, which would modernize our voter registration system, reduce wait times, and I have to say I'm very pleased that Connecticut is now in the process of implementing voter registration, and that's going really well in the state, and we need to see that done nationally.
So I see, Elizabeth Estey, that the Russians are hacking the Democrats. And I know that you've had some personal experience with that, but I'm just concerned that these voter registration lists are accessible. There's got to be a way of stopping that.
Well, what's interesting about that, and I had a conversation actually just last night with the Secretary of State in Connecticut, Denise Merrill, who's actually president of the National Association of Secretaries of State. And she wanted to make sure that I understood that actually we're looking to try to bring her down to testify in Washington in a couple of weeks. The Science Committee, which I'm a member of, is holding a hearing on cybersecurity and elections. So this is very much front and center in my own committees, where we're working to make sure that voter records are safe. A couple of points are important to know. One is, even for the hack that appears was made recently, that's just been disclosed, that was not into the records that are used actually at the county level for voting. So even, and in Connecticut, for example, none of those records are are accessible through the internet, which is quite interesting. Our system is closed, so you can't actually hack into it from the outside. And I think that's true for a lot of the states. And the voting itself is done at the county level, for better and worse, and sometimes we think it's for worse. But at the county level, in Connecticut, it's at the town level, not even at the county level, that we do all of our voting. So, but it does raise important issues, Alan. And having had the Russians hack my cell phone and my email address just this summer, I'm acutely aware of the need to have personal information protected, and that's unbelievably important to the integrity of our election process. We need to make sure these systems are robust, that people's personal information is protected, and people ought to be able to have faith and confidence in the election system. And they should, because in fact, extensive studies have shown virtually no voter fraud. We have to remain vigilant, but despite the rhetoric of at least one of the presidential candidates, and you know who I'm talking about, who keeps talking about rigged elections, that's incredibly unfair and inaccurate. We have Democrats and Republicans who are registrars of voters all over this great country who are committed to free and fair elections, and there have been quite a number of independent studies that have shown virtually no voter fraud, and where it's existed, it's been very, in very confined, in very limited cases. So again, we need to stay on top of it, but we shouldn't. Nobody should be under the delusion that this is a huge problem that threatens our entire system. That's just unfair and inaccurate.
Elizabeth Estey, I'm a great fan, and I thank you for agreeing to be with us as much as you do. Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District in office since 2013. When we come back, I'm going to ask you a simple question about how it's going the next time we talk between Trump and Clinton.
All right. Look forward to it.